Mike and Leona gather playing some games. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona gather playing some games. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. You can stay for free.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B. My name is Mike Bloom. I don't have another B with me or even a P in Paul Osleson. I'm flying solo right here, but don't worry. I still have plenty of very willing and able passengers in the cockpit as I make my solo venture over episode 6 of Survivor Ghost Island. I'm very excited because, you know, in the second swap that happened in this season, we saw a lot of pairs separate and a lot of pairs come back together. This pair has only been separated for about a month or so since the end, the torrid end to the past season of The Bachelor. But I thought, you know what, let's bring them together for one holiday-themed B&B special. So please welcome back to the podcast, Haley, and please welcome for the first time, Amy, from The Bachelor Wrap Up. How are you both doing?
Hi, I'm a 36B. Does that count for the B fulfillment?
I picked the wrong week to have Leona sit out with that opening statement. I have no idea how to respond to that.
We're here for a good time, not a long
time.
We
represent the B of The Bachelor.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely.
We're bad bitches with a Z. At the end.
I love it. You're gonna have to explain to me what a Z is later on for us.
Sorry, Z.
For us Americans.
Everyone.
So I always wondered, in Canadian schools, do they go like TUVWXY and Z, or do they say Z when you just sort of learn it as like a colloquialism to say Z?
Oh, it's the Z. But we learned
what's the rhyme at the end? Next time won't you sing with Fred? Or
Fred, of course, being the first Prime Minister of Canada.
Yeah, that was Sir John A. Macdonald, so don't even come for him.
Well, I would love to hear from both of you about, you know, your thoughts on this current Survivor season. But first, Amy, we sort of have to give you the hazing process, as this is your first time staying at the B&B. You're coming in tandem with a more experienced person. But I would love to hear from you what your Survivor origin story is. Obviously, you're a Survivor fan. We've heard you on the voicemails with Rob before. But when did you first get into the show?
I got into the show, like the first season I watched on air from beginning to end was season 2. So I think I was like in the heyday of when it was on, and you could hear like everyone talking about season 1. And so I was just kind of like, okay, what is this show all about? And so I think with season 1, I'm not sure exactly when I came into it, but it probably right around the finale, and was just sort of like, because it didn't seem like something I would be interested in. I was thinking it was just strictly survival, and I'm not really into those kind of adventure outdoorsy shows. But then I think they must have done some big long recap of the whole season, and I got kind of caught up in that. Eventually I went back and rewatched season 1, but from about season 2 through let's say Vanuatu, I watched on air when they aired, and then I kind of fell off, just life got in the way. And then I came back because I discovered RHAP during BB13. I was moving during that summer, so I would kind of watch Big Brother on and off, depending on whether I had a social life that summer or not. So I didn't have one that summer, and I was
one of your off summers for
one
that
of my off summers exactly. So I'm like, okay, I have time to watch it 3 days a week as it's airing, and then was just needing like extra content to listen to while I was packing up boxes. And then I think I saw Rob on like Dick at Night or something like that. And that's like what I found when I was Googling stuff about the season. And I was like, he looks really familiar. And then I put it together that I watched that season, and then listening to those podcasts made me get back into it and sort of followed through from there. And I was kind of a casual viewer in some of those in-between seasons of Survivor, but it was more like checking out the finale, checking out a few episodes here and there. So it's definitely a casual for a good time and a totally absent from it for a good time as well.
I love that you, like, the survival aspects, the outdoor aspects really turned you away, which I can imagine had you sort of running into the arms of a show like Big Brother, which is basically the same type of game, but without any sort of outdoor activity. In fact, they limit the outdoor activity.
Yes, or like The Bachelor, that's just pure comfort.
Right, exactly. I was like obsessed with those shows, like Big Brother 2. I was studying abroad, and then I was like reading recaps on like really slow internet in an internet cafe of like what happened during, you know, this last month. So yeah, it was more like this outdoor element just doesn't do it for me. So I had to like be like, I had to see that like it was a popular show and see that Extra and E were talking about it, and then I got into it.
I'll visit the Parthenon later. I need to know what happened with Bunky.
Exactly.
Well,
are Hardy and Shannon still together?
Oh yeah. I mean, that went down about as well as a toothbrush in a toilet. I'd love to hear, you know, moving from the past to the present, I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on what you've been thinking about Ghost Island. We're now six episodes in, almost halfway through the season. Haley, what are your thoughts on Ghost Island so far?
I've been really enjoying it. So I've been going through a bit of a Survivor burnout the last couple seasons. For whatever reason, I'm not sure. It's not that I'm not into it anymore. It's just that I needed to take a bit of a break, take a bit of a step back from how much I was consuming about the seasons, how much I was reading about it, how much I was talking about it. Because I know, especially before Game Changers, I got really burnt out before the season even started. So going into this, I think you're so amazing. I love you so much. And you know that. But I didn't listen to any of the first one out because I just couldn't go through it again, if that makes any sense. And but I did listen to like the Rob and Nicole preview. And that's pretty much all I knew about the people going into this. So it was interesting to watch the first episode and be like, okay, who's this person and what's this, their scoop? But I've really been enjoying it. And I think kind of taking a little bit more of a casual perspective of the season has really helped me appreciate it more and to not look at it so critically. And because when I look at things too critically, then I just stop enjoying it. Then I start to pick up the things that maybe I don't really want to pick up. I just kind of want to watch everything unfold before me. And I don't want to have to be like, oh, this person's getting this type of edit, so maybe this and that. Which is great, because they've also been throwing conventional edit techniques out the window. And I was a little worried, as I'm sure pretty much everyone was in this community, about it being a little too heavy-handed on the twists and the advantages and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, we're only six episodes in, but we haven't seen a whole lot of that yet, which has been nice. And it just, I think the cast is really excellent. So I've really been enjoying this season. It's been a lot of fun.
So if I'm comparing yourself to a State of Amy, it would be like the middle seasons, you know, when you came back to like glance upon seasons afterwards, not that casual, but sort of in that beginning levels of casualty.
I would say I'm it's hard for me to ever be like truly casual. But I would say I've been maybe in like the second or third deck at a baseball game watching this rather than like front row.
Can you be casual in your real life as well? Or does that apply to everyday activities?
Oh, I'm casual in everything else. Like I just, I lay in my bed and I try not. No, actually, that's not true. I'm not casual in my everyday life. I literally just finished six seasons of New Girl in a little over 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Honestly, I don't think I went through that. So, no, I don't do anything casually. Sorry, I'm all in or just very, very out.
No, you live life truly on the edge, binging six seasons of New Girl in one sitting.
Listen, I did not realize truly how good that show was. I stopped somewhere around season three, and I was very, very impressed at how good they were able to keep the show so far into its run.
Well, Amy, if you want to provide your opinions about New Girl as well, that's totally fine. But what have your thoughts been on Survivor Ghost Island? Do you agree with Haley?
I do. I kind of follow the same route in terms of like being a little more casual with the podcast listening ahead of time. I think maybe because we were wrapping up with The Bachelor and all that, we couldn't really pay attention to a lot of the preseason stuff. And I think the one hang up I have, I do really like the cast. Just trying to figure out what this ghost island really is. You know, this episode, we didn't see it at all. So I think that's kind of the main thing where I just want a little more consistency. I agree. I don't like it to be heavy handed, but I just sort of want to like figure out what it is. Is it just going to be what it's been, like a 50-50, they're going to get a game or not, and then they might turn that down, and what the stakes might be. But I've been enjoying the cast. It's a little hard for me to, there's those invisible players that there always are, and keep track of the tribes right now. But I've been impressed with the edit. I've been surprised these past few tribal councils, which I like. It takes me back to like the old school seasons. So I've been enjoying it.
Yeah. So let's get into this episode a little bit, because I enjoyed this episode as well, even though I am starting to see some complaints about how, like, we're going down the line with this editing. I mean, call me a sucker. I was totally with Rob's mentality of, like, I really thought it could be James or Desiree. I really think a case could be made for either. And I do think, even from a visual perspective, to your point about, you know, the visibility of these castaways, Amy, I feel like this episode, I believe the only people who didn't get confessionals were Donathan and Libby, both of which actually had like moments where they were either talked about or featured on the show. So that definitely says something. Even Chelsea had her nice little like Folgers commercial within Survivor where she sat and, you know, cried about coffee. And I think it just speaks to your point, Haley, about like the overall strength of this cast as a group of people. And with them comes the person that we unfortunately lost this week in James. Haley, any opinions about James through six episodes of Ghost Island?
I will say that every week I've been like disappointed to lose who we were losing, which is kind of awesome that I've really had stakes in everyone. James, I don't have a whole lot to say about him, except that I know Lita was a huge fan. And so then I have to trust that he was a great guy. But I feel like we didn't see a whole lot of him in the last couple episodes. He could be a little game body, I think, which isn't necessarily.
I mean, he literally positions himself like a robot, especially when he was. I think it was Nick Yadanza pointed out that at Tribal Council, James is like sitting starkly upright, and which, like, I give him all the accolades for 17 days in to not have your body completely collapse on itself at that point.
Yeah, I'm collapsed now, and I, like, had a great dinner, like, 2 hours ago.
To be fair, like, your body has gone through the rigmarole of a new girl binge. Like, that's equivalent to essentially, like, an Iron Man triathlon.
I mean, truly. With James, like I said, he's a little robotic, and I tend to gravitate towards the players who really have a strong social game. That's what I find interesting personally. So I'm liking Laurel. I'm liking Jonathan. And I like those people who are able to make really awesome conversations and get a lot of personality out of the people who they're with. And so James isn't really that type of person for me. So I'm excited. I'm happy Desiree's staying because I think we can get a lot from her, but I was pretty convinced that she was going based on like the opening confessional. I can't even remember what she said, but she was like, oh, like if this happens, then I'm screwed. I was like, ooh, girl, don't say that because you're going home.
Yeah. Amy, what did you think about James and his chances going into Tribal Council?
I just thought from what they showed that his argument to Angela just kind of made more sense. I just thought from her perspective, thinking about the merge coming up and that her tribe members that were now not on her tribe, but that they'd be coming back together, were against her and were ready to vote her out. I thought she'd want to maybe cut back those numbers a little bit and jump ship. So I was a little surprised about that. And I guess maybe I should have read into more when we got a little more about James and his backstory of moving here when he was 16, where they kind of endear us to these contestants and then they're gone. So, but yeah, I liked him. I was sad to see him go, but would have been sad to see Desiree go as well. And he just seemed like really, really mature. I was just surprised that he was 24 when I found that out. It didn't line up. I was like surprised about that. So maybe that prevented him from really connecting with people was just more game body and robotic.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, I think a lot of people groused when this cast got revealed that, like, you know, youngest cast on age ever. These are going to be full of a bunch of, like, immature kids. But, like, age is just a number. These are, I mean, I think Michael is the primary, you know, example of this, that the, they don't necessarily represent their age in a way. I totally agree that, like, and maybe this is because James has essentially been on his own since the age of 16. He seems extremely mature for the age of 24. But to your points about James, Liana and I both had our opinions about James that we wrote about preseason. So even though she is not here, Liana has done me the service of sending a nice message in a bottle my way after the episode recorded to read her own preseason thoughts about James. I'm going to start with mine in the hope that we have, for once this season, diverged with our opinions. We have been in lockstep for this entire way. We were like the Dominic and Wendell. And let's see if we can finally split apart here. So I'll start, as per usual. We'll read our predictions out, and then you two will get to determine together who had the more accurate prediction preseason. This is what I wrote about James. James will enter the game with high expectations for both himself and his tribe. However, he'll soon realize Survivor is not necessarily a game filled with individuals with squiggle IQs. He'll start his game in analysis mode, remaining quiet, doing well in challenges, and trying to take in the dynamics of the strange personalities around him. His well-seeming and agreeable nature will bring him to version 2.0 of the game at the merge. By the way, I had him making the jury. I didn't put that in the beginning, but really implicit in there. Once there, his quote-unquote pure Survivor ways of not really looking for idols will come back to bite him. The majority alliance believe he would be the least likely to have an idol or get one played on him, so they throw up a roadblock for the aspiring amazing racer that sent him to the Ponderosa pit stop. So I guess I had assumed that James was doing pretty solid until the merge, and then, like, I guess he was playing pretty placidly in comparison to some of the other hardcore gamers, and that sort of lets him become the target of the majority alliance. Let's hear what Liana had to say and see if she is in line with what I predicted or if it goes in a completely different direction.
Okay, here's what I had said about James in my preseason prediction. So first of all, I had him going pre-jury. Look at me go. And I wrote, James was sent to Ghost Island by the Navidi tribe and came back with an advantage. It's the ghost of the Patrick Alliance from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. James's new Ghost of Patrick alliance, consisting of himself, Brendan, and Michael, look to make a power move and take out the lovable Donathan. Sadly, 3 into 8 is out, and James is taken out pre-merge and was not able to reverse the curse on the Patrick alliance from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. And then in parentheses, I wrote, insert joke about Patrick being a ghost because he's so pale. So I don't know if I was actually supposed to go back and write a joke, or there's just the explanation of the joke, if that's for myself. I don't know. Unclear. That's what I wrote. Also, the other thing I want to say that I noticed this episode, James moves like one of those animatronic robots from Chuck E. Cheese. I could see him being plucked from a Chuck E. Cheese. Because didn't they get rid of him? I feel like, okay, this is weird because I'm having a conversation with myself. Anyway, so Amy and Haley, love you both. Hope that you pick my pick because pretty much spot on. Mike's the worst. So anyway, love y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Aww, can you imagine how great it would have been to have like a girl's like brunch here?
I mean, it could still happen
at the B&B.
I mean, you know, Mother's Day is approaching. The summer, I feel like, is prime brunch period now that, you know, the snow has thawed and spring wide chirps are occurring through the trees. I feel like that's a good—
Have you ever experienced a spring before, Mike? It doesn't seem like it.
I mean, I've heard of it. I've watched enough Disney movies you know, at the end when it darkest just before the dawn to know. I've watched the end of Fantasia, for example. So
that makes one of us.
Yes, that's true. One movie that of many on Haley's list of movies that she hasn't seen. Well, suffice it to say,
yeah, here's my hot take. I don't like Disney movies.
Oh, okay. John,
not at me.
John Mish,
taking a page out of Ali Lasher's book. Do not at me.
John Mish would not be very happy with that take, and probably Libby as well, considering she used to work as a Disney princess. But suffice it to say, I think I know what you guys are going to say. But who do you think had the more accurate prediction between myself and Liana?
I mean, you did go the route of saying like, oh, he doesn't need any advantages. Mm-hmm. He's not going for that. So that draws me to you. But it's hard to deny the fact that Liana was right about him going out pre-merge.
Yeah, I have the same perspective, Haley, that sort of personality wise, he captured James. But I just feel like the call of going pre-jury is probably
strong enough.
Good prediction. Yeah.
I mean, I can also mention the fact that Liana isn't here. So, I mean,
girl power, though, you know, we stick together, us ladies.
That's true. You do have that brunch in the books already.
Sure do.
All right. So can you come to a final consensus here? Does the Ghost of Patrick Alliance prediction prevail, or does my post-merge simple survivor theory prevail?
Sorry, Mike. I think we got to go with Liana, right, Amy?
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. That's fine. I'd predicted that even in absentia, Liana will be honored, much like people that are honored on this Easter Sunday in absentia. So that's another point for Liana. I'm just happy that we finally got different predictions. That makes me feel good that I didn't, you know, I have not did not unintentionally ape her wine soaked predictions. But we'll see. We'll probably get back to the old swig of things when she comes back next week.
For the old swig of things.
Yes. Mm. Long swig, especially when she got to Morgan's prediction in particular. As you know, James was it looks like he's pretty early on. Not only was he pre-jury, but Liana did not start with James. I think that's more indicative of the later picks. I want to jump into this first game here. And this game was actually submitted to me by a listener, Leah from Mississippi. Thank you so much, Leah. So Leah was inspired by the fact that at Tribal Council, you know, Jeff asked, do you play or do you live life by your head or by your heart? And Kellen, of course, gives the Phantom Third episode of how she lives life by her gut, which she feels like is a nice mixture of heart and head. And this got Leah thinking, you know, I've been looking to get into some gut health. So, you know, she's thinking about like, what sort of probiotics is Kellen taking to make her gut so good? So this is a game from Leah that I would like to call Gut Check. And here's how it works. So Leah has provided me with a list of names. These names are either going to be the name of a probiotic or the name of two tribes from one season mixed together of Survivor.
Oh my gosh.
So for example, I could give you Malidi, which is a portmanteau of Malolo and Navidi from this season. Mm-hmm. Or I can give you Gaseri, which is a probiotic from Lactobacillus Gaseri. Of course, I picked the wrong week to play this game considering that the scientist is out. So I'm going to butcher these bacteria names. But it's up to you two. We'll go back and forth to figure out which is a tribe and which is a probiotic. Do either of you have extensive experience in probiotics?
No, I've taken them on and off, but I don't think I've looked beyond the label too much.
No, I've had a couple packs of Activia yogurt, but that's
Activia.
About it.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that we can dive into this, and hopefully, you'll find the reward in the fruit at the bottom of this game.
Are Amy and I competing against each other in this, with each other?
You will for this game. You'll be competing. I have a couple times that allow you to compete against each other in true competitive fashion, true, you know, bachelor fashion. And sometimes you'll be competing together towards a common goal. But I decided to get the rivalry started nice and early. So
this might expose the seasons that I didn't watch.
Exactly. Let's see if you know how much you know those middle seasons. Amy, let's start with you. Tamburu. Is it a tribe or a probiotic?
Well, I'm thinking Tambaki, so I'm going to say this was a merge tribe name.
That is correct. Right. Yep, it was Tambaki and Jabiru from Survivor of the Amazon. So you are on the boards. You're so far so good. That is one of the seasons that you watched, though, so I know it's in your wheelhouse. Yes. All right, Haley, you're up next. Ruteri.
Ruteri?
Yes.
Oh god, I think that's a probiotic.
That is correct. Lactobacillus ruteri. You are both tied up here. Next up, let's go to Amy. Zapatepe.
Tribes.
That is correct. Zapatera and Ometepe from the much beloved Survivor Redemption Island. Haley. Yasevi.
Oh my god. Oh,
bacteria.
That is incorrect. It is tribe portmanteau of Yasur and Lopevi from Survivor Vanuatu. The cutoff for Amy's first era of Survivor watching. Amy, let's move on to you. Bifidium.
It's gotta be a probiotic.
That is correct. Bifidobacterium Bifidium. I have no idea what these do. I don't know if any of these are good or bad bacterium. Who am I to judge? But you are 3 for 3 so far. Haley, you got to catch up here with our next one. Koyapu.
That is tribes.
Correct. Koyopa and Hunapu from Survivor San Juan del Sur. Let's go to Amy next. Irakal.
Just sounds medicinal. I'm going to say probiotic.
Incorrect. Those are the tribes from Survivor Micronesia, Irai, and Malakal. All right, so here's where we are. We're at 3-all. Or no, we're at 3-2. Haley, you need to get this one right to tie. Here's your last one. Breve.
Probiotic.
That is correct. Breve comes from Bifidobacterium breve. I also believe that Wendell on Twitter, I think, isn't his handle like at Beve? So I initially like sort of winced when I saw that. Like, is he unintentionally
more like at Beve?
Ooh.
Ooh, yes. I don't know what sort of bacterium that is, nor would I want my bay to take it.
But I'd like to catch it.
All right, so we have 3-all here. You know what? I have a tiebreaker set up. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the name out loud, and you're both going to answer. We'll go to the honor system. You both write down your answer, whether it's a probiotic or a tribe name, and you'll reveal them one at a time. If you're both correct or wrong, everybody wins. If one of you is correct and one of you isn't, then we'll have a clear and cut winner in this first showdown between Bachelorette co-hosts. So here is your final entry in Gut Check, Kasei.
Tribe.
Haley, what tribe. Do you think?
I think it's a tribe.
You are both incorrect. It is a probiotic.
So, I thought it was going to be like Kasaya and something else.
I think that's what Amy was. I think it was what Leah was going for. So good job, Leah. You tricked a couple of podcasters here, but I'm going to say everybody wins. Or you know what wins? Our guts overall, since we have ingested such healthy bacterium to lead to healthy digestion. Because after you've had a butt ton of coffee and PB&J sandwiches, I think bacterium is probably going to be the thing that helps you out the most. Let's move on to our three questions segment. Now, I asked both of you to come in with a question about this episode of Survivor or the season proper. Let's start with you, Amy. What question did you have to bring to the B&B this week?
Okay, well, I'm bringing a question that has a nod to Haley and I's first profession, which is podcasting about The Bachelor. And so my question is, so it's a little more general, but you know, but Bachelor, like Survivor, is on twice a year. It's sort of a flagship reality show for the network, their respective networks. But Bachelor has branched out for quite a while now with spinoff shows. Started with Bachelor Pad, then Bachelor in Paradise, and most recently they've had Bachelor Winter Games. So my question is, what should be the Survivor spinoff should CBS want to branch out during the off season?
So the question is, should we consider, you know, Survivor Price is Right and Survivor Candy Crush? Are those in the conversation? Can we consider those like backdoor pilots for those types of things?
Yeah, I mean, those were kind of like they brought in other cast and where, I mean, Bachelor Winter Games brought in cast from other Bachelors across the globe, but they weren't like a one time. I don't know. They didn't have any other episodes with different casts, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it would be more like an ongoing show that involved Survivor contestants.
To your point, do we think we could do something like Survivor Earth, where you bring in like here are contestants from American Survivor, here are some from Australian Survivor, here are some from Survivor New Zealand. Kind of have to draw the line there. I don't know how many other Survivor contestants in other countries speak that much English to be able to survive 24 hours a day out there, but that could be something, you know, back in like the Idols days when they used to do like World Idol that one time that Kelly Clarkson won, I think, or she came in second.
She did not win that, actually. It was
really?
An Eastern European man who sang She's So High. I think his name was Kurt Nielsen.
Wow.
Fact check that for me. I just want to say that I recorded that special and watched it just like over and over and over and over again. So
were you just a big Nielsen head at that point? Were you bringing in the Nielsen ratings?
I'm not sure why I was the way that I was, but that's something from my past. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you were not casual with your World Idol watching. We've talked about this before.
Nope.
Well, Haley, what are you thinking? You know, you are the expert on these Bachelor-like spinoffs. Do you think we could parlay any of those ideas into the Survivor franchise?
Yeah, I think that would be really cool to see something like that, like a World Survivor. And on Bachelor and Winter Games, it did not stop them from having people who weren't great with English.
That's true.
On the show.
We could get another Yuki on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. As long as they speak the language of love, it works.
That's all that matters.
Well, let's think. So what about something like, you know, so instead of putting them out on an island, what if you, like, put them on, like, a college campus? Because, like, aren't there a bunch of Survivor games that run on college campuses nowadays or, like, in the middle of the woods? Do we think that maybe if we put them in a cabin or something, sort of like what Bob Crowley does with the Durham Warriors, like, survival challenge, do you think if you got enough contestants interested, you could try to run a mini game like that, and that might be closer to what you're talking about? Or are you talking about more so, let's put Survivor contestants in a different format?
Yeah, I want, like, a full scale, like, we're all going to Fiji. This is a great production. I want the real deal.
Or could we go in, like, a reality Game Masters direction where here are Survivor contestants, but they're going to, like, play Clue. Like, they're going to do something that's sort of different to the game itself, but it still has the castaways that we know and love.
I'm not sure. I know my idea for something like this would be just to show us footage from the pre-jury trip. I know we all, like, just want to see that sometimes, and we see the Ponderosa videos and see the cast interacting in that way. But we never see the pre-jury people do that, and I want that. So that would be my idea for the show.
So it would be like when Fox just recently did, like, that O.J. Simpson Lost confessional. It would be like, here's the lost footage from the Game Changers pre-jury trip that was lost to the Survivor archives until now.
Yeah, do you not want to see Tony and Sandra and Caleb, like, gallivanting through Vietnam and Cambodia? Like, you don't want to see that? Because I certainly do.
It's interesting. Maybe they could do, like, isn't there a CBS show where, like, William Shatner and, you know, Henry Winkler and Terry Bradshaw and all of them, they just sort of filmed them gallivanting around Europe? Do we think that if they made, like, a produced sideshow where they just filmed the pre-jury trip, that could be a nice little, like, add-on to CBS All Access, Amy?
I would definitely watch that. I think, yeah, they're missing out on some extra web content for sure.
I think that could be fun. I mean, they really highly produce those Ponderosa videos. I mean, it would suck to sort of be the camera person that has to walk around during the pre-jury trip. But I guess we could wonder then what the pre-jury trip for this would be like, considering so far we have Gonzalez, we have Jacob, we have Morgan, we have Brendan, we have Stephanie Johnson, we have James now. I mean, it's basically, you know, a big Mololo reunion with Morgan sort of being the plus one. But I feel like it could be fun, Haley.
Yeah, and they all recently went to go visit Morgan in Florida. I saw a picture somewhere.
So why did they not film that?
James posted it. Yeah, really.
They're filming the Jersey Shore reunion. Why can't we get the Ghost Island pre-jury reunion?
For real, though.
Well, let's move on from possible spin-off ideas. As you mentioned, Amy, you both are prolific in the language of The Bachelor, which is going to come in handy for this next game I have that Liana dubbed A Rose for Those Bros. Now, in this season, a lot of bromances have been formed, a lot of tight bonds between, you know, two guys that have either been broken up or they've been together the whole time. And as true, tried and true, you know, relationship experts, at least from a reality TV perspective, what I feel like I would do is give you guys a bromance this season. And you two have to decide whether or not you want to give them a rose or not, whether you think this bromance can truly work. Amy, are you ready to sort of step into the shoes of the Bachelor such Bachelorette and start handing out roses?
Definitely.
All right. Well,
love this idea.
Let's start out here. Let's start out with the twosome that got broken up this episode. Let's start with Wendell and Dominic. Haley, will you give these bros a rose?
I don't think so. Like, I'm super into Wendell, so I want to give him a rose. But Dominic isn't like super doing it for me. And them together isn't like incredibly compelling as a relationship for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Even though they had this sort of like, I mean, I guess they have something in common, right? They're both builders.
Is Wendell like a bodybuilder or something?
He's a furniture maker.
Oh,
right, no, Dom's right, the one that's doing the low squats. He's the only one doing the bodybuilding there. Amy, what about you? Are you as down on the Domdal relationship as Haley is?
I have to say I am. I think Wendell, you know, he gave Dom a mention, but it didn't seem like he was completely heartbroken. It was just sort of like, okay, well, you know, now I've got Sebastian over here. So I think he's able to move on quickly to whatever's in front of him. And it wasn't that solid. I don't think they might not come back together.
Well, yeah, so this actually brings up an interesting point. I'm going to throw the RA option in there, which allows me to provide an option where if one person switches to another twosome, would you give them the rose? And on that note, you mentioned, Amy, that in switching over to Yanuya, I probably won't have to say that for much longer. They'll exist for one more episode. but Wendell makes this conch shell connection with Sebastian. So now I'll try to make the change here. You know, do we think that if Wendell decides, you know what, Dom, it's not great between you and me. I think we have too much, you know, we built a relationship, but it's not as solid as the furniture that I make. Haley, would you give a rose to the newfound pair of Wendell and Sebastian, maybe?
Ooh, gosh, I don't know. Sebastian weirds me out. I don't want to give him a rose for anything.
Why is that?
I don't know. He just like has a weird voice and his face is a little off and he's just off.
Well, you're friends with me and that's the case with me.
I don't think that's the case with you. Sebastian, I don't know. He's like a weird dude.
All right. So you're just going to give him a rose because you're like, Wendell, you can do better, honey.
Yeah.
Amy, what about you? Are you going to give the RA option to Wendell here to bunk up with Sebastian?
I'll give them a rose just because, I mean, I don't disagree with Haley's statements about Sebastian, but as far as the pairing, I think if I'm putting on my bachelorette hat, we do like when there's these small gestures or they give a gift. And so the fact that Wendell knew that this conch shell was important to Sebastian and he had it, and gave it back to him. It meant a lot to Sebastian. So I think at least from that standpoint, I think it's pretty solid for now. And he might just stick with Sebastian. Dom might be a little too explosive for him to, you know, I think he'll hide behind him for a while, but I don't know if he wants to take him to the end with him.
Yeah, definitely a calmer presence in comparison to Dom. Would you call that conch shell? Is that a good like limo entrance gift for Wendell, which he essentially provided to Sebastian right there?
As long as they had a non-smelly version, I think it would probably be a good gift.
I don't know, Haley, would a dead conch shell be the most ridiculous thing given to someone in a limo entrance?
No, not at all. I think most ridiculous is hotel lamppost.
What?
I wish I was joking.
A lamppost?
Actual lamp from the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That screams last minute preparation. I think more than anything, ready reality show contestant. Well, speaking of Sebastian, let's talk about the Sebastian Chris pairing, who, you know, they started off in the beginning together. They got separated for, you know, the next several days, but now they're back together on the new year. Amy, are you going to give a rose to these newly reunited bros?
I'm not. They started out hot and heavy. You know, they had the Florida connection, but I'm shipping with Wendell and Sebastian. I think Sebastian can maybe sniff out now that Chris is also kind of a polarizing figure and might be someone that he has to let go.
Haley, you have expressed your your feelings about Sebastian shortly ago. Do you feel like Chris might be his perfect match?
No, I hate Chris. He sucks.
He sucks, guys.
Yeah, I'm just like not into Chris. So any pairing with Chris, I'm automatically going to say no. Sorry, spoiler alert. But like Sebastian is just like a more genuine guy. So I think Sebastian can do better than Chris, honestly.
I've heard this.
So maybe I am shipping the Wendell Chris one or Wendell
Sebastian.
Wendell Sebastian now.
So I know that when Randy was on the voicemails with Rob, he talked about how he felt that Chris should be on a bachelorette cast, you know, as one of the contestants. Mm. As our bona fide experts, do you see that now, especially considering what we just saw from Chris in this last episode?
I think he would be TV gold. I think he'd have to come in with some sort of, I don't know, he would be kind of like the Chad of JoJo's season, where the other guys wouldn't like him, but the editors would have a lot of fun exposing just sort of contradictory statements. I think the rapping would come in.
Yeah, he would definitely rap as his entrance.
Mm-hmm. So I think, and he'd be someone that was like set on, like he'd be the next Bachelor in his mind. So I think that would be good TV, and you'd make it fairly far.
How many seasons of Bachelor in Paradise would he do after that?
Three.
He become the bartender eventually, or like the open mic night runner?
No, he would just come back on three.
Well, maybe I'll use the option to exercise the Ari option here with Chris, because we saw in the episode before this one that Chris fostered a bit of a personal connection with Donathan due to their sort of shared connection over their statuses as caretakers. Haley, would you give a rose to the unconventional pairing of Chris and Donathan?
No. Chris, get away from Donathan. He is a perfect angel, and I will not stand for Chris, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, using his story as a way to make connections with perfect angel Donathan, and, like, get Donathan to trust him, and I'm not okay with it. Obviously, I know that's a function of the game, and everyone does it, but I'm extremely biased, and I do not like Chris, and I super love Donathan, so I want Chris to GTFO away from my perfect angel, Donathan, who's a perfect angel.
Amy, what about you?
I'm going to give that one a no on the rose as well. As Haley mentioned, it was not really a genuine connection there. Maybe smart gameplay on Chris's part. It seemed to kind of work with Donathan, but I don't know that he would be totally swayed by that.
Well, let's move over to the Malolo side for a hot second, because even though he is gone, but certainly not forgotten, I do feel like Brendan fostered this very close relationship with Michael before he went out, which is one of the reasons why, you know, the Navidis on that tribe decided to target him. Haley, Brendan, Michael, father, son, coach, student-esque dynamic. Are you giving a rose to these bros?
Yes, I love them. I am absolutely giving them a rose. I think their dynamic was really cool and interesting, and I thought they could learn from each other quite a bit, and Brendan was a silver fox, so yeah, I'm in.
Can he be a silver fox if he actually does not have gray hair?
He's over 10 years older than me, so he's a silver fox.
That's your rule?
I mean, what do you want from me?
All right, I like that. Now I'm just like doing the math of like how many people you would consider silly. So like, is Rob a silver fox to you?
Sure.
All right. There's a big foxhole going on that's full of.
I will say my ultimate silver fox is Ted Danson. So
I mean,
he's really silver.
Yeah, he has enough silver to make up for Brendan's lack of silver there. Amy, what about you? Are you shipping these Malolo men?
I am. I would give this one a rose. I agree. I like the dynamic. I was sad to see them split up, and would have been interesting. I like that it wasn't like two alpha males butting heads, or, you know, that they saw that they should stick together.
You think these guys are getting the televised wedding special?
Who knows?
Or would they'll you know, ride off into the sunset, and then Michael will get a call to be on Dancing with the Stars or something?
Yeah, we'll split them up.
Well, let's go back a little bit into Survivor history. Let's talk about some of the most famous pairs of bros and see if you guys want to give roses to them very quickly. Let's start pretty recent, though. Let's go back to the coconuts of Dr. Mike and Joe Mena. Haley, are you giving these bros a rose?
No, I don't think so. They're just not what I want to give a rose to.
Amy, you agree?
I agree. They were just a little too amused with their little coconuts name. It was just like a bad alliance name and Big Brothers. Nah.
Well, let's talk about one of our fellow know-it-alls, Stephen Fishback, and his best bro, the guy that he helped marry, literally JT Thomas. You know, they fostered a close connection in Survivor Token Chains, and they went to play their separate ways. Amy, are you giving a rose to these bros after all that time?
You have to. I mean, the fact that Stephen married them and they're still friends to this day, one name always comes up with the other. quintessential bromance.
Hale, you agree?
Yeah, I love them. And I think their bromance is probably like the different side of the tracks. Bromance that I feel like Joe and Mike probably thought they were, but just didn't have the charm.
Do you think that Steven could officiate his own televised wedding?
Can you do that?
I wonder, like, if you put up a mirror on the other side of the altar, maybe you can.
I don't feel great.
Have a stand-in.
If you have a stand-in, then what's the point?
Yeah, I guess that's true. You might as well just have somebody else. Maybe you can like play a video recording of yourself doing it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that works.
Yeah, once we get into the Westworld territory, we can like infuse
hologram.
Yeah, a hologram, perfect. I could not think of a better use of having like a hologram Tupac with my voice saying, you know, the words as I
join
hands with my beloved.
Oh my God.
Well, speaking of unconventional, I'm going to throw out a little interesting, you know, menage a trois scenario here for you. Would you give a rose to the Three Amigos as a grouping?
Who's the Three Amigos again?
That is Malcolm, Eddie, and Reynold from Survivor Karamoan.
Yeah, I'll give them a rose. They were a lot of fun.
Amy, what do you think?
Yeah, and they pulled off a move together. I think that shows solidarity. I don't think they're as strong these days, but I think they're, you know, you think bromance, that name comes up.
It'd be good to sort of, maybe it'll rekindle the romance. You know, you've lost that love and feeling no more thanks to a rose from the Bachelorette ladies. Let's go back to Token Jeans for a second. These two guys came back together at Run It Up Reno very recently. Amy, would you give a rose to Coach and Tyson?
I would give them a rose. I think they were amusing. And, you know, I like to think back to original Coach and original Tyson 1.0. So I'll give them a rose.
They've come very far. You know, there's been weddings, there's been babies, there's been kimonos. Haley, after all that time, are they getting a rose in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've been able to stand the test of time, and we've been able to see that relationship grow and be wonderful. So I'm in. Yeah.
Well, speaking of staying the test of time, I want to go all the way back to the first season here to finish off our bro pairings. Let's talk about the OG bromance on Survivor. Let's talk about Richard Hatch and Rudy Bosch. Haley, would you give a rose to Richard and Rudy?
Yeah, I think so. They're the OGs.
So they're sort of like grandfathered in, quite literally, in Rudy's case?
Yeah.
Amy, I know this is a season you went back to watch as soon as you gained Survivor Mania. Are your nostalgia goggles, are they rose-colored glasses, essentially?
They are, yeah. I think it's classic, and it's, again, like, you know, coming from two different worldviews and seeing eye to eye on things and learning about each other, so... I got to give him a rose.
Do either one of you have any other bro pairings throughout Survivor history that you want to discuss, or are we done with our roses? Was that the last rose of the evening?
I would say like maybe Tyson and Gervais was an interesting one. Gosh, who else?
Would you give Tyson and Gervais a rose infused with chat vodka?
Yeah, why not, eh?
And then Gervais can brag about how he got the rose.
Yeah.
Amy, any other bromances that you would give a rose to from Survivor history?
Maybe Jeremy and Steven. But again, I if you have to decide between Steven bromances, it's always gonna be JT. So
ooh, would the most dramatic Survivor finale ever from In a Bachelor Style be Steven having to choose between JT and Jeremy?
Ooh.
That would be pretty dramatic. I mean, you know, Steven would cry so much. JT, you wouldn't understand what he was saying. Like, I feel like, and I haven't seen too many Bachelor finales, and I know the last one was pretty darn dramatic, but Haley, I feel like that actually might be the most dramatic rose ceremony ever.
Yeah, and I think Steven would just get too upset and not be able to choose, and then JT and Jeremy might end up with each other.
Ooh, that would be really, that would be really fun. And then Steven ends up with a stick, or he ends up like going on with a poem for so long the two of them run off with each other. I like this ending. All right, well, let's move on here away from the bros. Haley, what is your question that you brought in? I'm assuming it's not bro related, but what Survivor question have you brought for us to discuss this week?
Okay, so earlier in the season, we saw the return of James's idols, or idols so far. But this is not the first time since China that we've seen them, actually. They were his luxury item in Survivor Hero versus Villains. And I want to know what infamous item from Survivor you would pick as your luxury item.
A good one. So any sort of, I mean, it's tough because there are so many relics that are assumingly on Ghost Island. Because I feel like gut instinct going off of, you know, I took my probiotics plenty. I feel like my gut is to say, you know, the effing stick. But I wonder if that's a cop-out considering that we're probably going to see that later on in the season. And if I should dive back further into the recesses of Survivor.
Yeah, dive further. Deep dive. Because it could be like anything. Not just like an item that we're going to see on Ghost Island. Like I'd say maybe, speaking of probiotics, Bruce's rock garden.
Nice. Slash Courtney's yoga garden unintentionally.
Yeah. Or her like fire sticks or whatever she had.
Maybe
I would
take
all
like
of Cook Islands as my luxury item.
Like the cast?
Yes. And like maybe in the outhouse too.
The Casa de Charmin.
Casa de Charmin.
Amy, what were you thinking?
I was thinking, what was the season where they were like, maybe they've had a few where they're like, the reward is like to eat dinner on a bed. And I would take that bed and the
infamous spaghetti bed.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I was thinking maybe what I would do is all the way back in Survivor Australia, Amy's OG season. Do you remember when Colby and Jerry took the coral from the Great Barrier Reef and they got in trouble for it? What I would be thinking is, let me bring that. If there's someone I don't like, let me slip it in their bag. So then, like, if I still get voted out, at least I won't be busted by customs and, like, forced to stay behind like that person would. I'd have the last laugh.
Might as well bring the beef jerky with you, too.
That's true. Oh, my God. I could bring so Plant many things to just throw in people's bags and accuse them of hoarding.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, another one I just thought of was the pineapple Rita from the Outback Steakhouse's challenges. Like, I would pick the pineapple Rita for myself.
So what, it would just be like it would be like prison hooch, like a nice jar of pineapple Ritas that you would just like hound behind the scenes when you really needed to take a dip.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to think of if there are any other fun ones. Maybe like JT's tooth. Like I could feign an injury to be like, oh no, I chipped my tooth. I can't participate in the challenge. And like, I'll just throw the tooth to the side and like, oh, you found it. But my mouth is bleeding. I can't help out around camp. I'm going to have to sleep all day.
Or Rob Mariano's infamous t-shirt from Redemption Island. So you could literally wear Rob's family on your back.
Oh, maybe you could put that again in somebody's bag and say like, I think that guy's related to Boston Rob. He has that Amber t-shirt in his backpack.
You really just want to like frame everyone.
I love it. I love this. So the subterfuge. I'm from the Pete Yerkowski school of let's, you know, throw the blame onto other people and cast suspicions on them. I should not be utilizing these for nefarious purposes. It seems like both of you actually want to use the items for good that are in your bags.
Yeah. And I think we'd be remiss to not mention the magic eight ball as well. I think just to pass the time would be something good to have.
Though, is that a cursed item? Can it reverse the curse of having the camp burned down when it was in it?
It could be a cursed item. They should have thought of that.
Rob Cesarino had this, but he left it behind at camp when Bush accidentally burned it down. In order to reverse the curse, you must keep it submerged in water at all times. Or like it's set to explode at a certain time and you must pass it off to somebody. Again, this is me being very mean by saying that you have to give an exploding magic eight ball to somebody, but I'm just spitballing here. Well, let's move on from relics of Survivor past, but let's focus on Survivor's past a bit. I don't know if you two know, but recently Dalton Ross of Entertainment Weekly put out a fan vote for Rank the Survivor Seasons. He did this with Survivor Winners a while ago. This week, he came out with the results. He ranked all 35 seasons since Ghost Island hasn't finished yet, obviously, and ranked them 1 to 35. Just a hunch, this is not part of the game, but do you guys have an idea of what might be number 1 and what might be number 35?
I trust no one, so I would say probably One World is dead last, and first is either the first one or Micronesia, or Heroes versus Villains.
What are you thinking, Amy?
Those options sound good to me. I would co-sign.
Yeah, so Heroes versus Villains is number one. One World barely escapes the bottom. Redemption Island finishes all the way at the bottom. Felton also gave some tidbits about like behind the scenes voting. He said that apparently Redemption Island had like twice as many last place votes as really any other season. So a lot of dislike for the Zappa Tepe probiotics and everyone taking those supplements back in Nicaragua. But I really took a deep dive into this fan ranking list, and I figured I'm going to ask you both a smattering of questions about these rankings. And whoever has the most correct answers at the end of this wins. So, Haley, you mentioned this before. How much do you think you can have your finger on the pulse of the Survivor community that voted for these rankings?
Like, I would, like, gut reaction, I would feel like 0.00% on the nose. But I was pretty close with guessing the tops and bottoms. So we'll see. Amy, and not the dusty rate bottoms.
No, absolutely not. A lot of very dotty, spotty, I should say, with your thoughts. Amy, what about you? You said that, you know, you've sort of been it all. You've been a hardcore fan. You've been a casual. Yeah. Do you think you can sort of tap into that variance to see if you can predict what the Survivor community voted for?
I'm not feeling too great about it just because I think like a lot of my views of those middle seasons have just been sort of whatever I might hear mentioned on RHAP. So there were a few where I went back and watched because it came up a lot. And so I went back and watched Heroes versus Villains, you know, so I could kind of pick up on like, well, these are the seasons that kind of become the butt of a joke. But if there are anything to, you know, deciding between two of those middle teenager seasons, it might be a little tricky for me.
And as we all know recently, reality TV is entirely driven by RHAP and its participants, of course. We are the ones that direct
How
everything.
How dare you bring that up right now?
I don't even know what you're talking about. We love all of our Canadian denizens from A to Z. We love everybody up there in the Great White North. Let's get into this. Haley, we'll start with you. Here's your first question. So, as I said, Heroes versus Villains is number one, but the aforementioned Tyson Apostle participated in two other seasons, Token Chains and Blood versus Water. Of those two seasons, which finished higher on the rankings?
I would say Token Chains.
That is correct. Token Chains came in at number 10, which was surprising to me, at least. I knew that Token Chains was pretty well regarded, especially with the popularity of people like Tyson, Coach, JT, and Steven. But I don't know. I was a little surprised to see it crack the top 10. I don't know. Amy, you just had a reaction when you heard that. Are you surprised as well?
I was a little surprised. Yeah, I thought it'd be a little bit lower. I did watch that one, though, and I did like it, so.
And maybe, you know, depending if a lot of like the old school fans were voting, it was marketed very back to basics. So maybe it holds it close to their hearts. Blood versus Water, not too far behind at number 14. But Haley, as much as, you know, much as you maligned your thoughts on the Survivor community, you are correct so far.
So far.
So far. Amy, let's go to you for this next one. True or false? None of Andrea Belke's three seasons broke out of the bottom third of the rankings. So Andrea has a sort of reputation where we love her as a player, but she unfortunately has sort of been saddled with three not so well-regarded seasons overall in your Karamoan, your Redemption Island, and your Game Changers. But do you think that at least one of them broke out of the bottom third of the seasons?
So bottom third, let's see. I don't think so, actually, because I think Game Changers, it's still pretty recent. And I think people are pretty sour on it. And Karamoan as well. I think almost the recency of the dislike might put those all in the bottom third, is my guess.
That is correct. You are on the board as well. Yeah, poor Andrea Belke does not have a season pulling out of the bottom third. The highest was Game Changers, which like barely landed down there, but still, all the Belke that we've seen on TV so far have had the unfortunate linking of these bottom tier seasons, which are still good Survivor seasons. I want to preface it with that. Let's move into the next question here. So there are a couple of major themes of casts that have occurred over Survivor seasons. One of them, or two of them, I should say, are BBB, Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, and Blood versus Water. Both of these have had two additions come out. Both of them had varying placements between their two editions. Haley, Which one had the greater difference between their two seasons in the rankings? Blood versus Water Brains versus Beauty versus Bronze? You're essentially saying, you know, who has the wider differential between them? Blood versus Water and San Juan del Sur or Cagayan and Koh Rong?
Oh, this is super tough because I would expect both the BBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBB quite a difference between the two is kind of surprising to me. And I would think that the blood versus water seasons also wouldn't have like a super big differential, because I feel like they would be a little lower on the scale. So God, I think because the OG BBBB is so highly regarded, like I would be surprised if it wasn't in like the top five. And I know some people aren't impressed with Michelle's win. They're haters, but whatever. So I would say there's a bigger difference between the BBBBs.
Yes, you are correct. I tried to make a B thing out of it, but unfortunately I was, I don't know. I tried to make a beeline for it. That is correct. So Blood versus Water had 10, you know, rankings between them. The OG Blood versus Water came in at number 14. Samuel and the Sword came in at number 24. In terms of BBB, Cagayan is definitely up there. And then you have BBB all the way in the middle around. So for Ko Rong. So it's only a few spots difference. But Haley, you are definitely correct there. You sussed out the BBB.
Hells yeah.
True to your bachelor.
Should I say bells yeah?
Bells yeah. Unfortunately, I wish I had a bell. But I will ding it nevertheless. Let's go to you here, Amy. We're going to move towards the bottom of the list once more. I apologize for keep giving you these bottom questions.
That's all right.
But I'm going to provide to you a list of four seasons. Now, you know, everyone sort of gave certain points and rankings to all of these seasons as they voted. But only one season, according to Dalton Ross, got zero first place votes. Which was that season? A, Thailand. B, Nicaragua. C, South Pacific. D, One World.
Ooh. I say, well, let's see. No, going back and forth here. Can you read those choices again?
Sure. So it's Thailand, Nicaragua, South Pacific, and One World. Three of these actually got at least one first place vote from somebody on the internet. One of them got zilch.
I'm going to say South Pacific.
That is correct. Much like Albert, South Pacific received zero first place votes. I was a little surprised by this. I guess it's because, I don't know, if there are some people out there, and maybe Taron Armstrong, since he's a robot, he rigged the system to, like, give first place votes to Redemption Island. But I don't know, Haley, I was a little personally surprised to find out that South Pacific was the season that didn't get any first place votes.
Yeah, I am too. What would I have gone for? Gosh, I would have probably said, so there is One World, Thailand, South Pacific, and what?
Nicaragua, your very first season.
Yeah, I would say Nicaragua. Probably. That would have been my guess, I think. So I'm glad that Amy got this question and not me.
First in your heart, at least, considering that was the one that you started with. So you are two all doing very well as we move into our next question here to Haley. Only one season finished in the same placement as it did chronologically in Survivor.
Oh my God.
Which is the only season to finish in the same place as its season number? A, Survivor Amazon, which both finished at number 6. B, Survivor Exile Island, which both finished at number 12. C, Cook Islands 1, which both finished at number 13. D, Survivor Karamoan, which both finished at number 26.
Wow. Oh my God, this is so tough. Oh my God. The one that makes the two that make most sense to me are Amazon at 6. Based on what I know of Dalton's personal list, I know he has Amazon ranked pretty high, and Karamoan at 23, because I feel like people are going to have that pretty low. Oh, God. I'm going to go with
Karamoan.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Amazon.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
But your gut was not great on this one. The correct answer is Exile Island came in at number 12 on the rankings.
I was leaning the same way as you, Haley. It was one. I thought it was one of those two.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess, you know, I think the Kasaya of it all, I think, buoyed people's ideas. I think, you know, maybe seeing Sarisa recently and her being such a beloved player definitely helped bring that up. But yeah, Exile Island, the only season to finish in the same placement as it does, chronologically speaking. We have Amazon came in at number 7. Cook Islands sort of came in the same general area. It came in at number 15. Karamoan, very close, came in at number 27. So you were sort of on the money, just not exactly.
How rude.
All right, Amy, let's move on to you. We're moving to the top of the rankings here.
Okay.
We're moving you on up to the east side. Which is the highest season that placed featuring only new player? So I will say that, again, Heroes versus Villains was number 1. Fans versus Favorites was number 2. The next season down featured all new players. We have Pearl Islands, Cagayan, China, and Borneo.
Ooh. I'm going to go with the nostalgia for Borneo.
That is incorrect. The correct answer was Survivor. Pearl Islands came in at number 3. And that's my personal favorite season, so I'm happy it just picked up a bronze. But yeah, and actually... The order that I read them out in were the order that they finished. So Pearl Islands was number 3, Cagayan number 4, China number 5, Borneo number 6. I'll round out the rest of the top 10. We have Amazon number 7, Cambodia number 8, second chances, number 9, Philippines, which I was a little surprised about as well, and 10, Token Chains. I feel like with this ranking, what happened was like a lot of these seasons got a lot of like high to middle votes, and if they didn't get a lot of low votes, that might have like pushed them up. So I feel like some of these seasons, like Philippines and Token Sheens, with Eyebolt love, but some people might not. Ordinarily, they might finish more in the middle of people's rankings because some of these other seasons have more haters or downvoters. It sort of pushed them up by default.
Yeah. So was it the way to take the survey? Was it you gave a number to each one, like 1, 34?
Yep. You essentially ranked all 35 seasons. It sounds intense, but I mean, if there's one thing the Survivor fan community is, it is fantastically intense. And things are intense here as we are still tied to all, moving into our final two questions here. Haley, we're going back to you. So I'm going to read to you 3 2-time players in which they won one of their seasons. This is another this is another gap question. We're going back to the gap. Get a nice scarf. Which of these winners has the greatest difference between their two seasons in the ranking? A, Jeremy Collins, who participated in both San Juan del Sur and Cambodia. B, Richard Hatch, who participated in Borneo and All-Stars. C, Sarah Lucina, who participated in Cagayan and Game Changers.
Oh my gosh.
So between Jeremy, Richard, and Sarah, which winner do you think has the biggest difference between their two seasons in terms of fan ranking?
This is very, very tough. Was Cagayan the first BBBBB?
Yes.
So, okay, then I'm going to go with Sarah Lucina.
That is correct. Sarah Lucina. Sarah Lucina. So Cagayan finished at number 4. Game Changers all the way down at number 26. By far... the biggest difference between the two. So, I mean, she's got a little bit of the good and a little bit of the bad, and she still has $1 million check, so we can't complain too much. Amy, in order to tie, you need to get
pressure's
this right.
On.
So, there were 2 pairs of seasons that came one right after the other chronologically, and also came one right after the other in the rankings. So I'm going to read off to you 3 pairs of consecutive seasons. You have to tell me the one that did not finish next to each other in the fan ranking. So 2 of these did, one of them did not. A, Africa and Marquesas. B, South Pacific and One World. C, Ko Rong and Millennials versus Gen X.
Hmm. Let me see. What was the second one?
It was South Pacific in One World.
I'm going to go with that one.
That is correct. Africa and Marquesas both finished at 19 and 20. Korong and Millennials versus Gen X are right in front of them at 16 and 17. And since I do not have a tiebreaker, we are once again saying everybody wins. Everyone who voted in this poll wins. You guys did a pretty good job, despite your like,
Every game we've played so far, we've been like lockstep.
Everybody say love. You know, it's an egg hunting season. We're all finding some treasure, some afikomen, depending on what your religious influence is. But you both have done very well. And especially, I think, you know, your predictions about how you would do were very much like, you know, Leon and I's predictions, and that they were very inaccurate. I think you both did very well predicting how the fans would vote here.
That was tough, though.
Yeah, it's always weird to sort of, it's always interesting to sort of look at what the general, again, pulse on the Survivor community is. I mean, obviously, this is not the entire Survivor community, but I guess now we have it etched in stone, at least in this moment, you know, how the Survivor seasons typically rank. And we'll see where Ghost Island falls in there after the fact. I have a question to bring to the two of you. And I noticed that this episode in particular, is it just me or are the players being a little extra saucy to Jeff Probst this season? And I can point to a couple of examples here. So on the mat before the swap happens, you know, Jeff says, you know, hey, Donathan, you know, is this good for you? Is this bad for you? Is this neutral? He's like, Lord, I don't know, Jeff. And I could see he was like getting a little mouthy of him. He was dropping F-bombs. Then, of course, at the immunity challenge, we get Wendell giving a fantastic what's up Probst to get him to come over and check his puzzle. I mean, am I thinking, you know, am I putting myself too much of an isolated incident in here? I don't know. Haley, do we think that the players are getting, I wouldn't say, you know, it's not a bad thing to get mouthy, but are the players being more vocal and playful towards Probst than they have in a couple of recent seasons?
Ooh, God, I'm not sure. It's hard to like comb through my memory super quick to think of any other examples. Like, obviously, the first one I go to is JP, not Jordan Parhar, but Jonathan Penner. The many times he was mouthy with props. So, gosh, I'm not sure. Because I don't think Jonathan was like purposely like mouthy. I don't think he would try and do it for television or anything. Ooh, gosh, I think they're just having fun. Like, I think it's just a fun cast who's having fun.
Do we think that part of it might be because they're all such big super fans? They're like, look, I can't leave this season without giving it a little bit back to Jeff Probst, Amy.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're maybe a little more casual about it, maybe more a little bit amused. But I think we've seen, I can't think of a specific example, but I feel like Hannah in Millennials Gen X was a little bit, I don't know, the way she acted towards Probst would kind of be a little similar, or you know, even going back to Philippines, Dawson was like literally mouthy with it. So I think it depends on the mix.
Are we giving a rose to Dawson and Jeff Probst in that moment?
No. Well, no, it's like he didn't want that. He did not want that to happen.
Is Dawson like that girl on the first night to like get sloppy and like be all over him?
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good question about like tracking the relationship of contestants to Jeff Probst, because I feel like we've almost gone 360 in that they started, you know, Jeff was sort of like, he was sort of feeling out this job as well. So like the players were being very playful with Probst. I mean, there was a point when off air, maybe this would be one of those great CBS All Access behind the scenes uncovered footage that Haley was talking about, where apparently all the Pagongs voted for Jeff and he got super pissed off at them. and it was sort of coalesced in All Stars, where like essentially they were all considering Probst like their peer, and so they didn't really have a lot of respect for him. Then when he sort of gained more credibility and stepped into that executive producer role as well, I feel like he might have sort of tried to lord over them a little bit more. But maybe now we've sort of come back around to like them trying to like poke Probst and like, you know, joke around with Probst. Haley, do you feel like we've sort of reset back to that status?
Yeah, I do. I think Jeff has taken himself less seriously in the last couple seasons, so I think that's being reflected in the way that the players are interacting with him.
Do we think that Jeff needs to be more disciplinarian with them? Or do you think it's okay to sort of, I mean, again, these are younger players. They might be more used to like, you know, a playground-like environment, but do we think that Jeff needs to put them in line at all?
No, this is fun. We're all having fun.
We're all having a good time. And I agree that I don't know if Donathan was necessarily being mouthy on purpose, but I don't know. I did like kind of the unintentional sass that was coming out of his mouth. Like, I don't know, Jeff. Like, I can't tell you. I can't go with head, heart, and gut right now, Amy.
Right. Yeah, I think that was just maybe just a genuine reaction. And I think if it ever gets too far out of line, I don't think Probst is going to be hesitant to let them know.
Hey, sit in the corner. I would not be surprised if that, you know, if Tribal Council ever gets out of hand, Jeff could like set up the jury bench as like a detention and like say, hey, you know what, Michael, you have to stay behind now. And you have to write 50 times on the blackboard, you know, I must not play fake idols, and then you can go back to camp. Well, let's move on here to the last segment of each week and every week here on the RHAP B&B, the question of the week. Last week's question of the week, what is the optimal survivor hairstyle? So as per usual, I'm going to read through some of the comments that you listeners wrote. We'll get our reactions to that, and then we'll go through the panel as well and get their thoughts. First, let's start with Karen Eisenberg. I think the answer is pretty clear. You want hair that's a few inches long all around. Shaving your head is tempting, but your scalp will burn, especially if it hasn't been exposed to the sun. You lose the option of bonding with your tribe mates with hair braiding sessions, but you avoid having knots and snarls, bugs, and gross stuff from a challenge stuck in your hair for 39 days. It may not be the most flattering style for everyone, but it can be cute. Think Demi Moore in Ghost or Courtney Cox in Dancing in the Dark video.
I have to, you know, if you're going for a style that might be memorable, the short pixie cut is really in if we go by on the last season of The Bachelor. The contestant Becca really stood out because she was the only one with short hair. So maybe just in terms of getting asked back for next season, if you get a really cute short hairstyle, I can see where she's coming from on the women's side of things.
But if you do that, could there be a chance that your loved ones actually report you missing and then helicopters fly to Fiji looking for you?
But that adds to the appeal of your backstory.
That's an interesting question, though, because, you know, we talked before about how, like, sometimes people, and I think James actually told me this in my exit interview with him. He said that, you know, I should have played like I was a returning player. Do you think you should dress and style yourself to be a returning player, Haley, that like you want to create a unique look that gets you brought back?
Yeah, I mean, like, look at the things that we're still talking about. Tie-dye. You should wear tie-dye. We'll remember you forever.
Yes. Or even if you die, like if you die, if Ty dies, we'll still remember who he
was.
Yeah,
if you're Ty, if you die or wear tie-dye, we will remember you.
Let's move on. Justine Cassidy says, optimal survivor hairstyle, bald. I say this as a woman with hair long enough to donate and still have 6 inches left. We talked about this a little bit last week with Allie. Mm-hmm. Haley, where do you stand on this idea of like going completely bald to go onto Survivor?
I think it's fun and interesting. And then you get to kind of see like the progression of growth. But I agree with Karen. Like, yeah, you got to worry about that like tender scalp burn.
The bug bites. Yeah.
Do we think that like maybe wearing a hat the entire time? I don't know what hat you could wear.
Are you allowed?
I mean, I guess you could put like your buff on as like a hood, because I've seen some people do that, especially when it gets super cold. But it would look a little weird. I know you look like a supermodel, actually. Maybe that would be really trendy. Dan Sinensky has a similar idea. He says, my hairstyle, bald, is optimal for finding idols and making big moves with 3 Z's, much like you two are the Bachelor bitches with a Z. So I'll stick with it. Maybe add a bushy beard. Now, Dan brings in the facial hair element of it, which I don't think we really focused on. But Amy, let's talk about facial hair for a second. Do we feel like a bushy beard is a good thing to have going into Survivor?
I think you want to show the progression, and you want to, you know, you need to be able to determine if someone is island hot or not. And I think you don't want to come in with a beard. You want to see how that stubble gross.
Yeah, are you spoiling the other castaways, Haley, for what you're gonna look like on day 39?
Yeah, a little bit. And I'd worry about the beard tan. Like, you don't want to go home and shave your beard and then the bottom half of your face is super pale and the rest of it's like not pale.
Yeah, then you could face your bottom half of your face could be a ghost island while the rest could be like a typical island chain. Let's move on here. Tom Coleman says my optimal survivor haircut Shambo's mullet to challenge the strategic knowledge it takes to take down an 8-4 alliance, even if you're a member of the 8. And I'd like to add Tarzan's handlebar mustache to get his social graces and knowledge of microbes. Maybe he knows something about the probiotic. He probably aced that quiz that we gave before. But Haley, I'm sort of liking now that we're just sort of playing Frankenstein and mixing and matching different survivor hairstyles onto one person.
Yeah, it makes me just a scooch uncomfy, but I will allow it.
I don't know. I feel like you look like a trailer park boy, Amy, if you had Shambo's mullet and Tarzan's big bushy mustache.
The trailer park boys really yeah. make it down to the States?
I've heard of them before. I haven't checked it out, but I have heard of them.
Interesting.
Maybe like a, I guess it would be more like a Kenny Powers. That would be like a good example as well. Or any basically yeah. any Danny McBride performance. I think Danny McBride could pull off the look. He might be the only Survivor contestant that could.
Yeah, I'm not sure about like the bushy facial hair, just because it feels like it'd be really hot, and then you have no way to sort of groom it while you're there, and it's just gonna get really out of hand.
Yeah, no, unless mustache wax can be your luxury item. Maybe I'll put you, but then I'll put someone's mustache wax in someone else's bag and accuse them of stealing it.
Or maybe if you come to the island with a beard dread like Matt Bischoff, then that's an option for you.
Yeah, the beard.
Then it won't get tangled because it's already tangled.
The beard braid. Do you think the beard braid, do you think it might contribute to the overall weight of your face and make it heavy for you to, especially when it gets wet, for you to like carry yourself through the water?
I don't know. I just wouldn't suggest it.
Well, let's move on here. Dominic Nalpietti says, my optimal survivor hairstyle would be that of Sideshow Bob. It would be great for hiding idols, storing snacks, marble notebooks with my rap lyrics, whatever I need. And if I need to spy, I can gently sway and I'll be unrecognizable as a palm tree. Amy, what are you thinking? Could an animated character's hairstyle play out in Survivor?
I think so. It's actually similar to my answer that I came with. So I don't know if I should give that away right now, but
keep that secret.
I think, yeah.
Haley, what about you? Just to tell you, Sideshow Bob is a character from The Simpsons. I know you.
I know that, Fogel. I know that.
Well, do you think
just because I don't like a show doesn't mean that I don't know its contributions to pop culture?
I mean, I'm definitely that person as well. I'm the person that hates horror movies, but I look up the synopsis on Wikipedia just because I'm so interested in it
all the time. All the time I do that.
Yeah, can't wait to.
I haven't watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy in over 10 years, but boy, have I read all of those recaps.
All the medical maladies you're missing out on, but you don't need to because you're actually reading it over. I'm going to finish off here with a lengthy one, but a fun one from April Spisak, who said, okay, here's my idea for the best survivor hairstyle. Medusa style snakes. As she lists a sample of advantages from past seasons, Sue Hawk has a handy visual aid. Big Ted is going to stay the hell away. Rupert will be ferociously protective and loyal, and great sound effects for editing purposes. Of course, the constant references to snakes, for example, side eye to you, Devin, may make your hair a risk. But then again, who's going to piss off the chick with a venomous snake head? Plus, you can braid them. And I suppose in a real pinch, eat them. All the answers were great. This might be my favorite, though, because as April listed, all the myriad connections to snakes and Survivor past that I can only imagine what would have happened if they just had a woman with a snake head or snake hair in that season, how they would react to that in particular.
Yeah, I think that's a really clever one. I like it a lot.
Or maybe hopefully the style won't bite them in the ass at all, Amy.
That's a good one.
Yeah, serve as a constrictor to their game. Let's go to you guys with your answers. Amy, you alluded to it a bit before that you were sort of in line with Dominic, but talk to me a little bit more about your choice for an optimal survivor hairstyle.
So my choice is a retro one, but so like a retro revival. It would be the beehive, so like the Marge Simpson, for that same idea of being able to hide idols. You know, the women don't always have the cargo shorts, and I think it's off the back of your neck. It's firm. You just have to have like a really, hopefully you have Aquanet or something with you, or it's just shellacked in place. But that would be my pick.
Sebastian has a lot of experience with Aquanet, Haley, in his day-to-day life.
Apparently.
It's a fishing joke.
What is Aquanet? Oh, okay, cool. Never mind, I'm out.
Well, what do you think about this beehive do look? Could we bring back the 50s in order to earn the mills?
Yes. I don't know. I think it's a fun idea. I think you would be memorable for sure.
And I think that it also, like, I think height can also be, you know, very domineering as like a first impression. So I think you could also exude sort of superiority by just looking taller from an additional like 6 inches of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Haley, what about you? What did you pick for an optimal survivor hairstyle?
Mine's really boring. It's just taken from like my own personal experiences, which is that within the last couple of years, I stopped washing my hair as frequently. And I know when I get on third day hair, it's just a little on the greasier side. And I don't always want to use dry shampoo because you're girl lazy. Yeah, I'm too lazy for dry shampoo. Deal with it. And a popular hairstyle that we see often in Survivor is the French braids. And that's for good reason. It keeps your hair out of your face. It's cute. And you don't feel quite as grimy and greasy if your hair is like looking cute. And if your hair is greasy, it holds better. So,
mm-hmm. Amy, what do you think about Haley's choice?
It is very cute. And I agree that it's something I would do like in middle school if it was like, I don't have time. I overslept. I hit snooze. So my hair is greasy today. You got to put it back in some way. And the braids sort of add that a little bit of texture, whereas compared to a ponytail.
And to be fair, Survivor often reduces your brain to that of a middle school level. So I think it makes sense that you have a basic, you know, knowledge pattern of what a 12-year-old might know by the time how much degradation your mind has gone through. I went a little retro as well. I don't know if either of you know what the hair of the guy from Flock of Seagulls was. But I feel like it would be, I don't know how utilitarian it would be, but I feel like it's a style that if we're going back to this idea of like attracting attention and like being someone quirky to work with, I feel like that could be fun. Plus you have, you know, you can put up sides if you want to hide your idols or anything in there. Granted, if Dominic sees you, he might call you, you know, a devil in an angel's body like he did with Libby. But I think it's an interesting enough hairstyle that I feel like we just need another venue to bring it back, and Survivor might be the one.
We need a Survivor Decade season and we can see all of these.
Ooh, it's 70s versus 80s versus 90s.
Yeah.
Though I don't know, like, would it be people that were born in those decades, or would it be just people representing those decades?
Maybe the people that sort of exude that style or something. Like you'd have the free spirit hippies would be representing the 70s.
So you pick, you basically
rigid, like,
so you go to like Bonnaroo and you're like, okay, hop in the van, six yes. people, we're taking you to an island.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe that's how they got Sebastian there. Haley, what do you think about Survivor Battle of the Decades?
I'm in for any of the battles.
I kind of like it as well, especially if they like have them like, you know, so Brad, as a 90s kid, like, what is that? How does that inform the way that you vote? I feel like as we malign shoehorning the themes in there, I feel like a battle of the decades, even if it's, again, you know, people not necessarily who live through those decades, but just dress like they're a part of it, could be a lot of fun, especially from a fashion perspective. Next week's question of the week, as we talked about before, Chris's introduction to the Yununya tribe. Again, I still cannot pronounce that damn name. He decided to talk up his accolades a bit between, you know, winning a volleyball tourney, breaking, you know, the ice by telling Laurel that he used to be a male model. And we'll see if that's beneficiary to him. But next week's question of the week, what is Chris's greatest claim to fame? So I am inspiring the community out there to get creative as you want. It's like the Chuck Norris of the Survivor community, maybe. What is Chris Noble's greatest claim to fame? You have a bunch of ways to reach out to us. You can always contact us on Twitter with this. Use hashtag RHAPBNB. You can respond to the post on Rob Has a Website. You can respond to the post in the Rob Has a Podcast patron group. And we will read them back next week with myself. Liana will be back from her time away, and she will bring with her the great Kurt Clark will be returning to the RHAP B&B to break down what I'm assuming is the last pre-merge episode as we suss out what's going on with these three tribes. And we keep moving forward to see what stories and what blindsides will come next. But for now, Haley, Amy, thank you so much for, you know, keeping me company as I held down the B&B by my lonesome for this week. It was so much fun to get to have you guys compete against each other, work together, suss out some fun Survivor hairstyles, theme seasons, extra content. This was a lot of fun to do.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we had a great time. And we always love when we can get together to talk about something. That's not always like The Bachelor. We tend to get into that, pigeonhole. And we like to be able to talk about other things once in a while.
Yeah. So speaking of that, so I know you guys are on a bit of, a sabbatical right now. But The Bachelorette comes back, what, next month, a couple months from now?
Yeah, probably the May long weekend. But don't worry, you don't have to wait that long to hear us talk about The Bachelor again. This is actually a great week to have us because we have a special episode coming out this week with a special guest. So stay tuned for that.
I completely planned that, of course. Lots of forethought on my part. I'm very excited to hear that. To get a little bit more like a little amuse-bouche of Bachelor content before you jump back into those waters with Becca K come next month. Amy, how can people follow you on social media until then?
They can follow me on Twitter. I'm at RHAP Recapper.
And Haley, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_.
You can follow me, as always, at @MikeBloomType. Check out the Survivor exit interviews that I do for Parade. As I mentioned, I got to speak with James this past week. Got a lot of insight into his dynamics at, Navidi before the swap, particularly his personal connections with people like Angela and Donathan and Libby. Really great guy to speak with. I also cover RuPaul's Drag Race. We had Ali Lasher on recently to talk about the second episode on the Hamster Factor this week with AJ Mass. I talked about Catfish, which I had never seen before, which was a little weird, especially in 2018, to learn the origin, essentially, of the term catfish and where it all started out. I stream D&D every other week on The Campaign. I'm going to be ramping up the American Idol podcast with my great wife, Angela Bloom, which has been holding down the Bachelor Monday slot. Haley, I know you're a big fan of World Idol. Have you been jumping on the American Idol reboot bandwagon?
No, that was very preteen Haley. I get too obsessed with these things, so I have to know when I need to take a step back. And that's I can't dive back into the world of Idol. I can't do it.
Maybe we'll make you nice casually lean in. I know casual's not your thing, but maybe that can be your
casual's not my thing. I can't do casual.
Well, you can always follow our host in absentia at Liana Boras as well at LianaBoras. Also check out her great work on the Drag Race podcast as well as the Saturday morning live feed updates for Big Brother Canada 6. Throw her a tweet and let her know how great she was at her prediction for how James would do. Special shout out to Scott St. Pierre for editing all this together and getting this nice and gussied up and posted. Wolf from America for his B&B theme song. And as always, our head writer, Paul Osselson, for getting everything organized with such a quick turnaround before we put this out. But thank you both again so, so much for coming on and joining me on a very, We learned about probiotics. We learned about how Survivor fans vote. We learned about hairstyles from the past and their viability on Survivor. It was a big educational experience for all in a weekend where most children are going to be having, a lot of time off of school. So we got to give them some education somehow. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with Liana and Kurt Clark to break down episode 7. But for now, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. We are.